Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, please. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Very familiar. But just because the Scripture is familiar doesn't mean we know it. We may have it memorized, but do we know it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, whenever we share that scripture, there are a couple of points that we always focus on. We focus on being new creatures. Oh, tell me, you receive Christ? Yeah, you're a new creature. And we focus on old things being passed away and all things becoming new. And we're like, great, my past is gone. It's erased. I don't have to give account for that anymore. But we leave out the most important part. Read it with me. Therefore, are you there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now understand something. Being a new creature, old things being passed away, all things becoming new, is dependent on something. What does the first part of that scripture say? If any man be in Christ. You can be a new creature and not be in Christ. You'd be like that movie series from my youth, Creature Features. It was something scary, something that would devour you. But it says, if any man be in Christ. We don't focus on being in Christ. That's why we are experiencing need. That's why we're experiencing anxiety. That's why a lot of the devil's stuff seems to manifest in us, because we're outside of our Father's house. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. That means you have a right to dwell in your Father's house. Your Father is never going to close the door to his house to you. There's some things that we do that move us out of the house, but puts us on, if we go to the airport, those moving sidewalks, I love them. Even with new knees, I still love them. Well, sometimes the things that we do put us on that moving sidewalk, and next thing we know, we're outside of our Father's house. And we're wondering, how'd I get here? You weren't mindful of where you were going with what you were doing. And you got off course. You got distracted. One of the things that always seems to happen to me, if I'm driving and I'm talking to someone, I look and I say, where am I? Next thing I know, I'm 2-3 exits past where I needed to get off. Now, sometimes that's okay. You just get off, go to the other end, go back. Sometimes you run into stuff. The other day there was an accident. I didn't pay attention to what my navigation system was saying, and I wound up taking 2 hours to travel 3 miles before I could turn around, not paying attention. Took me off course. I got back on course, but I lost 2.5 hours. not quite 2.5, more like 2 hours and 15 minutes, because once I made a U-turn, it was smooth sailing. But even think about that. I had to turn. God didn't do anything different. I had to. Silly moment. I was thinking of a joke I heard on a comedy channel. Man got pulled over by a police officer and gave a ticket. He said, you made a legal U-turn. And he said, I didn't want to turn. But I looked up in the sign and said, no, U-turn. I know, keep the day job. I could tell you my grandson's joke. No. I've been seeing more and more of that condition of people being in distress. And when I carry on a conversation, because you let people talk and you find out whose house they're in. And more often than not, I find out folks are outside of God's will. Well, how do you get outside of his will? You get outside of his house. You can't do your will in his house. Because if you did your will in his house, then there'd be darkness in him. And there is no darkness in him. So if you're in your father's house, you have to be doing your father's will. See, one of the things that this made me realize or see clearly, you cannot sin and stay in your father's house. Whatever that thing is that we want to do that we know is outside of his rules, we have to go outside of his house to do it, realize what we've done, repent, and go back in. So wasn't that a good thing? It is a good thing. But in the front, it's not a revolving door. And we've installed one. So we can just go out and in very easily. Very easily. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I said, in him we live, move, and have our being. You find that in Acts 17, verse 28. I think it's important that you know that. But being a new creature, understand, becoming a new creature in Christ is not enough. Staying a new creature in Christ. That's what we need to focus on. Staying in Christ. Look at John 15. First 8 verses. I'm reading them in the Amplified Classic Edition. I am the true vine. Jesus is speaking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. See, this isn't one and done, as I said before. It's not, I received Christ, I'm a new creature, I'm done. No. You have to keep bearing fruit. You have to keep doing what's right. And as you keep doing what's right, God, through Christ, makes it possible for you to bear even more fruit. You think you've done a lot of good. You keep doing it, you'll do even more. Jesus said, greater things will you do. But we're to be firmly planted in him, so that we keep bearing fruit. If not, we get trimmed away. How do you get trimmed away? You go out the house and the door closes. Verse 3, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me. Dwell where? He says, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself. You cannot be successful as a Christian apart from Christ. I don't care what you think. You cannot. Oh, the devil will allow you to have some success so you get a big swelled head. Why does he want you to get a swelled head? So he doesn't miss when he swings at it. And great, great, great will be your fall. Have you ever noticed? You hear things that entertainers do. Some of them even despicable. Their value increases. Their value increases. They become more popular. They get more notoriety. Let someone who confesses to be a Christian do the same thing. They'll get crucified. Because even the world is smart enough to expect more from those who say they're Christians. Expect more. In order for us to do those types of despicable things, as I alluded to earlier, you have to step out of my Father's house. You have to step out of your Father's house. And then that question comes. You're out there and you think you're alone and you're trying to figure out who's your daddy. As you're giving your life over to the evil one. Why? It appears his way is easier. It appears. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Then he makes it clear for us. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We need to understand that order. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. The branches are connect themselves to the vine, not the other way around. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and they are burned. I was intrigued by that word withers. So I looked it up. And after looking it up, I don't want to have anything to do with the word withers. Because trying to figure out what it means was a task. Because usually it applies to a portion of a horse. And I'm like, that's not the way I know the word. So I looked in dictionary.com, Merriam-Webster, they're all talking about a horse. So I said, what does this word mean? If we're not in him, we become dry and sapless, shriveled. All those are definitions of withered. We're made speechless. It means we don't know what to say. If you don't know what to say, how are you going to speak to the mountain? And or incapable of action. We don't know what to do, so guess what we do? Nothing. Really, if there's one thing we do, we'll keep moaning and complaining and whining about it. While we're outside my Father's house. When all you have to do Because Jesus said, knock and the door will be open. Daddy, I want to come back home. Come right on in. He didn't change your room to a den. He didn't need a man cave. He says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your heart, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done for you. All through my Christian life, God has been highlighting Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah, I know the other part, all these things will be added unto you, but I don't think about that part. I think about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means every choice I make, I should. Say, yes, you should. Okay. See where that lines up in what God said and do that. But standing here as your pastor, I have to tell you, I haven't always done that. You know why? I have a very good reason. I got feelings. I got wants. I got desires. So I put them in front of seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. I've stepped out of the house onto the porch. It's like having 1 foot in and trying to get 1 foot. It's not a screen porch. So once you step out, you're subject to the elements because you're out. That's right. I like that. Right on cue. If you live in me, underline verse 7. Circle it, highlight it. Copy it, put it on your refrigerator, make it a screensaver. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. We get excited about it shall be done, but we don't pay attention to the conditions. Live in me. Abide vitally united to me. That means abide like you believe your life depended on it, because it does. Make sure my words remain in you. Make sure that my word has first place in your heart. Then you can ask what you will and it'll be done. We're asking, but we haven't taken care of the first couple of steps. I was watching one of my grandsons in the soccer tournament, and they disallowed a goal because they said the other person was offside. Sometimes we go to God and ask for things, we're offsides. We're offsides. We're doing things that are not part of the rules. And we want what we want without having to do what's right. And it doesn't work that way. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. See, God gets no honor, God gets no glory when you're out there bumping around. Because the world sees that, and their thought's going to be, if your God is so all that, why are you going through what you're going through? So he wants to bless us. I said earlier that being a new creature is not enough. You have to be in Christ and stay in Christ. Look at Genesis 1, verse 26 and 28. God said, let us make man. So that means man wasn't around. So Or you could say, God said, let us make a new creature. In our image, after our likeness, and let them, meaning it's going to be more than one, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So spotted lantern flies are creeping upon the earth. Instead of stomping on them, we need to also cast them out. Speak to them. Tell them their stay here is over. Go back to China. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Now, where was God when he made Adam? He wasn't in the garden, because the scripture says he took the man whom he had made and placed him. You could say he took him out of the worldly environment and placed him in the garden and gave him one set of instructions. You can eat of all these trees, but not this one. Don't eat from this tree. Take the fill of all the other trees. And man was fine with that. Man was lonely. God made Eve, took a rib from Adam and made Eve. Serpent talked to Eve. Eve listened. She ate from the tree and gave it to her knucklehead husband with her. Well, the reason I say that, because I reading that story before I became a Christian didn't do anything for me. The first time Pastor Clinton read it, he pointed out with her. And I was like, "What? He was there?" And let's, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. Would you stand there and let some other person seduce your spouse in front of your face? In front of your face. Adam allowed the serpent to talk smack to Eve while he was standing there. I'm not that saved. I don't know about you. But when they ate of the fruit, their countenance changed. They were no longer a part of their father's house. God had to put them out of the garden. Had to, because there was no other way. He created a way. Talked about it in chapter 3, when he talked about the seed of the woman. He saying there's going to be another way for me to get you back. But at that time, there wasn't, so they were out. They were outside of their father's house. And all the animals that they used to play with didn't recognize them. Lions and tigers and bears. They said, what is this? We've never seen anything that looked like this before. They looked at each other and said, maybe they food. No, that's not the Bible's version of what happened. But I think about those things. All the animals that were used to be in subjection to Adam and Eve didn't have to listen to them now, because they're no longer part of their father's house. So the animals could think there's no room for them in the garden with us. Not in my stomach growl. I wanted to just mention this to you. says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And we try and use that as an excuse. Well, the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle, so he deceived me. No. It says he was more subtle than any of the animals. He wasn't more subtle than Adam and Eve. And no, Adam was not deceived. The Bible tells us that clearly. If you're not deceived, that means you know exactly what's going on. I believe, I don't do this often, but I believe Adam was lusting after that tree. I believe Adam was wonder what would happen if I tasted it. But he didn't want to die, so he let his wife be the guinea pig. Now, why is that a significant thought for me? I look at how things are today, and husbands are putting their wives out there in places that they should be taking. They're leaving their wives to make choices that they should be making. They're putting their wives in positions of authority that they should be filling. Where did all that come from? I call it the Adam syndrome. And then when God called them out on it, instead of standing up and saying, yeah, I did, God, I was wondering what it was, he said, he blamed God. He said, the woman you gave me, like it was his fault. And she said to the woman didn't take accountability either. She's the serpent. Serpent had no choice. There's no one he could blame. But the point is, folks, choices were made to come out of the Father's house. Why? Because there was something else that you wanted to do that's not in the Father's house. And in Matthew 18, I don't remember the verse. Whatever you bind on earth, it's bound in heaven. I read a commentary that cleared that up for me once and for all. If it's not happening in heaven, we have the authority to bind it on earth. So if it's not going on in heaven, we have the right, we have the authority to make sure it's not going on in the earth. Anything that's taking place in heaven, we have the right to make sure it takes place on earth. It's that simple. Who's in charge of heaven? Who's in charge of earth? His children. I'm a child of God. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. You have to be in Christ to do that. I have another example I want to give you. I'm jumping down. Before I move, I want to tell you this. Adam and Eve were both new creatures. They never existed before. When they sinned, they became new creatures. Because there was never a creature that disobeyed God. We'll make sure that's accurate. After Lucifer. Because Lucifer thought that he was going to exalt himself above God. But I wanted to share with you about the children of Israel. Look at Exodus 12. And this was the last thing God did before Pharaoh agreed to let the people go. Exodus 12, starting in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out, take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at that door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer, that means will not let the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. So the deal was, God was going to allow the destroyer to come and kill all the firstborn of Egypt. But the destroyer had to have a way to distinguish who's not going to do it. You Egyptian? Yes. They had a way to distinguish one from the other. God didn't tell the people to mark themselves. He didn't tell the people, put a mark, get some blood, and put a splatter on your forehead. He said, put them on the lintels and the doorposts, two side posts, lintels across the top. When I see that, I won't let the destroyer come. So anyone that's in there is safe. But in order to be safe from the destroyer, you have to be in there because the house is marked. You're not marked. The house is marked. If any man be in Christ, Christ is the mark. You're in Christ. So when that thing comes looking for you, he sees our Savior. When you open your mouth to rebuke him, he hears the voice of our Savior. And when he hears that and sees that, he gets about his own business. You can't be outside conversing. First of all, who are you talking to? If there's anyone else out there, either someone else that's disobedient like you, or it's the enemy. Yeah, I got the blood on the place. God said he's not going to let the destroyer come, so I'm good. You're outside. He said, I will not let the destroyer come in and destroy. So where's the safety? Where's the blessing? Where's the protection? Inside, not outside. I will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. There's some stuff going on in some of your houses that's not of this Lord, our Lord. Why? We have not marked our house. So we've given access to the destroyer. See, here we have locks on the door. We have security systems. So if anyone got past a lock on the door, we'd know it. We'd know it. But we don't have anything that's going to stop you from going to the door, opening it, and leaving. Just so happened there are no lights here, because when you're leaving from light into darkness. Didn't plan it that way, but hey. So in their house, they were safe. In their house, they went on with Passover, ate their food, sang their psalms. No fear. They were free from the destroyer because they were in the house that was marked by God. These are my children. Can't touch them. Can't touch them. But they had to stay where? Where did they have to stay? In the house, in him. Malachi 3, verse 18, this is the Voice translation. God wanted to use this because of the way the verse is written. And you will return and notice the difference, say the difference, between the righteous and the wicked, between those serving God and those not serving Him. There's always going to be a difference. You'll know who's serving God and who's not. Why? By watching them. By listening to the words that have come out of their mouth. What's in that movie? Do you hear any words coming out of my mouth? Well, that's the identifying difference often. Thank you, Father, that my children operate in obedience. Thank you, Lord, that my children operate in obedience. Thank you, Lord, my children operate in this will never go work. Meanwhile, the hands of the Holy Ghost are getting ready to redirect your children. And you speak words of doubt, unbelief, got to take his hands off. Because the minute you take your hands off, you stepped out of your Father's house. You stepped out of being in Christ. How can you say that? Because you no longer believe that what he says works. He said, don't concern yourself about tomorrow. We concern ourselves about next month, next year. We do our calculations. I have enough money to last me till June 2024. Oh, well, I guess God's, I can't afford to tithe. God said, give and it'll be given again unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will men give into your bosom. Where is that found?
In the house.
Say,
it's in the house.
How many of you rely on Psalm 91? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in my Father's house. You're saying, you're confessing Psalm 91, and it ain't working for you. You ain't in the house. Get back in the house. Because if you really believe Psalm 91, you'd never walked out of the house. But you leave to try and do something different because you have need of patience that after you've done the Father's will, you might receive the promise. The promise is coming. Yeah, but when? God never tells me when. Yes, he did. He said in due season. He said in due season, you shall reap. It's going to come, and you're going to get it if you faint not. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Noonday, not newsday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only, that means all around them, the destroyer was destroying, but it didn't, not only didn't it go in the house, it didn't come near the house. Didn't rattle out. Didn't get none of that. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You may see it, but you're not going to experience it. What, say why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder is a poisonous snake. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Say why again?
Why?
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, the Bible says he dwells in a secret place, but the secret place is no secret to us. We know where it is, and we know the path to get there. What we have to do is have a double locking door so we don't leave once we get there. The idea is to get there and
stay.
Get there and
stay.
How do you think Jesus got that way? Because God, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except by me. John 15, remember we read, dwell in me, live in me, abide in me. All else throughout John 15. Jesus said in John 8, the Amplified, you need to hear this, so you'll know how to stay in him. So Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, no, understand that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or my own authority, but I say exactly what my Father has taught me. And he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Jesus trusted and obeyed the Father in everything he did. There isn't a thing that he did that he wasn't given instructions to do first. So therefore, there was never anything that he did that was outside the Father's will. The only way we can stay inside the Father's will is doing everything that he said. I'm sure Jesus didn't like everything that he was told to do. How can you say that? Well, look at what he said in the garden. He didn't go in the garden and say, Father, I'm looking forward to this. Make sure they get it right when they stick the nails through my hands. No, he said, Father, if you're willing to have a change of heart here, let this pass away. I'll say three Hail Marys, you know. But if there's any other way, instead of me having to go through what I have to go through in the cross and 3 days in hell, he said, but if not, there's no other way to do this except for me, then let it be your will and not my will. And I emphasize that because it's important to know it's okay not to want to do it. It's not okay to not do it. It's okay to tell God, Father, I don't like this way. Is there another way we can accomplish the same thing? But if there isn't, I'm willing to go with your plan. He stayed in the house. He stayed in the house. Abraham stayed in the house. God promised him a son. He waited years for this son. And then God says, sacrifice him. Side journey. There was this young man talking about staying in the house. There was this young man who was one of my granddaughter's classmates in high school. He had a heart tie with this professor at Michigan University. And he was going to go to Michigan because he wanted to be mentored, continue being mentored by this professor. But on a college tour, he went to Duke. And he had a heart pull to Duke. And he was having some problems because the person who he honored and respected was at Michigan. But he's being pulled Duke. So he goes with his heart tug to Duke. Found out that the day he applied to Duke, that professor resigned from Michigan and was hired at Duke. True story. God will send the resources he wants you to have to a place, and you have to be in his house to find out that place and go to where the blessing for you is. He could have said, this has been my dream my whole life. See, it wasn't about Michigan. It was about the relationship. But because his heart's dream was in Michigan, he was not going to disobey the pulling of his heart toward Duke. And he had never, that was his first time at Duke University. Folks, when you stay in the house, great things happen. And if great things aren't happening for you, you need to check your location. Don't mistake the doghouse for God's house. You need to be in the house. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we need to just add something to the end of that. Once we go in, we stay. We stay. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've orchestrated this service.